The Song of Solomon this morning, book of Song of Solomon. We have before us a tremendous text. There's a truth that is here. I shared it with our young people. I believe it was Wednesday, might have been Thursday. Hopefully expand upon it just a little bit. Book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. This unique book, it's really a love story. There's a couple of ways that people look at this. I believe probably the most tested way is that this is a story about Solomon and the love of his life. And others believe that perhaps it was a different person. But what we see in this tremendous little book is really a picture of the Lord and His people. What I want us to see today is something a little unusual as you think about a love story, and that is there's an opportunity that presents itself here. I hope you can catch it. And the opportunity is lost. And it takes a long time to regain what was lost. Let's read chapter 5. I'm going to read down to verse number 8. Verse number 8. See if you can catch what I'm speaking of on the opportunity lost. He says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Yea, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you today for this tremendous portion. And I ask you, O God, to help us to gather a truth today that is so important. Help us to understand, Lord, that we have windows of opportunity. Sometimes they are very small. Sometimes they're very large. But, O God, that we might recognize them, we might take advantage of them, and we not lose them. God, work and bless in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We have before us a beautiful story. The story of a man and a woman that are evidently in great love. As you read in this chapter, as you've read along with me, you find the little pronoun I on several occasions. And if you're not careful, you'll get mixed up because on one occasion the man is speaking, on the other occasion the woman is speaking. And so there's a little bit of a dialogue that takes place here. It begins with a man, and then in verse number 2, it is the woman as she speaks of him talking from outside the door. She's made herself ready for bed. She is laying in her bed and she hears the knock at the door. Her love has come. And in his knocks, she says, "I'm in bed." He does something else that's unusual. You see, in the doors of that day, there was a hole. And through that hole, you would stick your hand, and then from the inside, you would put your key into the lock and unlock the door. Not a lock on the outside, as we have today often. And we find that he stuck his hand inside the door. But he did something that was also common with those who were in love, and that was that he would have some sweet-smelling myrrh, as it says in this case, and he'd rub it on the handle on the inside the door as a symbol of his love to her. But because she had said, "I'm ready for bed, and my shoes are off my feet, and I'm really comfortable here," he withdrew himself. In the meantime, as she is expecting to come in and he does not, she jumps out of bed and runs to the door. She unlatches the door, and as she opens the door, he's not there. Solomon evidently had been on business that day and he comes home late. He comes to his wife's door and she makes excuses. She's comfortable. He begins to take his hand and put inside the door and give her those things of love. But he does not take the key and unlock the door and intrude. Instead, he backs away and leaves. But she longs to see him, and now she jumps out of bed and runs to the door and opens the door, and he is left. She begins to head out the door and into the courtyard and into the city. And the watchmen find her. And they think her to be a common harlot. And she cries out and she says basically to the women that are there, "If you see him, let him know I'm sick of love." Think about the story. Opportunities have their moments, do they not? Opportunities, like a window, they can be there for a little bit and then they're gone. There are things that present themselves to us and then they've been withdrawn and it's not available any longer. I received an email on Saturday and on that email, it was a store here in town that sends them to me, and they had some shirts on sale. And I thought, boy, that'd be good. And it was just for the day. And along with that, they had sent me a $50 coupon. And you know the price of shirts today? I thought, man, I'm going to get over there and get some shirts. And I forgot it. The opportunity was there, and now it's gone. I could have basically had a free shirt, maybe two, and the opportunity is gone. We look in the Word of God and we find that that happens so often to people. Amasa was placed in the charge of the armies of David, taking the spot of Joab, the great general. And Amasa is told by David, he said, "Assemble me the troops, get them here quickly, because we have a riot upon our hands in another part of the country." And Amasa lingered at the command of David and took too long. And the former General Joab, he is so incensed by this that he takes Amasa aside and sticks a knife into his ribs and lays him alongside of the highway. He had an opportunity, but he did not take it. I think of King Agrippa as the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine Paul, the great Apostle? God has anointed this man. He comes and he preaches to him. He is hearing this man speak, and he says, "Almost thou persuadest me." As far as we know, that opportunity never presented itself again. As far as we know, Agrippa is in the pit of hell this very day. I think of an occasion Jesus is preaching to the 5,000. As he's preaching to them, they are hungry. And the disciples say something to Jesus, and he says, "Well, let's feed them." He said, "Well, no, you need to send them away." He said, "No, let's feed them." And one of the disciples says, "Well, nobody's got any food. There's a little boy here. He's got a couple of fishes, some loaves of bread." And that little boy gave his lunch. And 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, are fed. An opportunity that was taken. Wow. So many things stop us from utilizing the opportunities that are before us. I think one of those things is fear of failure. Many times there's something that is there, but we don't jump into it because we're scared we might fail at it. We're afraid that, you know, if we do it and we don't do it right, we'll get laughed at. And the real underlying problem with that is our stinking pride. And so we don't take opportunities that are there. I see young people especially. You know, in a lot of ways I feel sorry for young people. Growing up in the world you're growing up into, I mean, really about the only thing that young people know how to do well is, you know, I just thank God when I find a young person actually knows how to talk to you. I mean, it's amazing. And boy, I tell you once, it's heartening because I run into someone now and then that have tremendous manners and they are willing to talk and so forth. And wow, amen. But are a lot afraid to even talk because they're afraid they'll say the wrong thing. And opportunities pass us by. I mean, they're great opportunities. Because we're afraid to fail. We look at it and we say, "Well, that's not something I can do easily." In other words, we're afraid that somebody might think that we're not very good at it, and we, in our pride, not willing to take a stab at it. You know, the only way you're ever going to be a success at doing something is to try it. Listen, it's going to be very difficult for you to invite me to your house and put something in front of me that I don't like. But when I was a little kid, I didn't like a whole lot of things. I grew up on the farm. I mean, we had fresh eggs, we had fresh milk, and we had fresh meat. And I mean, I ate those things. And we had some kind of meat, we had a potato, we had some kind of vegetable every meal. But there were certain vegetables that would come along that Mom would only fix maybe once every month or two. Rutabagas. Cabbage. Spinach. My mom had a rule. Parsnips! My mom had a rule. You know what that rule was? Try it. Not just put it to your tongue. Take a bite of it, chew it, swallow it. She said you can train your taste buds. You know what? My mother's dead today, so I can admit it and not have to worry about her saying, "I told you so." But she did tell me so, and it's true. You can do that. And I found out, hey, try it. But we're so afraid to try things. You know, God puts opportunities in front of us and we're afraid we'll fail. We think, "No, I can't do that." And we pass up things that God wants us to do because of our fear. And really, it's our pride. Many times we have opportunities, as this dear woman did, to allow her love to come in, but because she was comfortable, she did not get up right away and let Him in. And the opportunity was gone. And it took a long time. You can read the rest of the book to reestablish that. It did. But she lost out on some things. And far too often, our personal comfort keeps us from taking advantage of that which God puts in front of us. Sometimes it's our personal goal. Sometimes I want to do this because I want to do this, and God has laid something here in front of me, and I don't do it because I want to do what I want to do. And thus we find opportunities that are lost. I don't know what the number one reason is, but if I was going to label a number one reason why opportunities get lost, it would be this. We fail to recognize opportunities. I've heard people say, well, that person, man, they just have all the luck. I never have any luck. No, some people are willing to take the small opportunity that is there and they press on with it, and we have a big door open and we don't think it's an opportunity because we can't see it. But it's available. And you and I, we need to be able to see that which is before us. Let me give you a thought here for just a moment. A while ago I said, boy, I'd love to see us have a choir in our church. I really would. And I mean, I love every service. I mean, we'd start out, there'd be 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 people. They'd stand up here. Well, I don't know if they march in. I don't care how they come in. I mean, they'd be back there and just, you know, be spocks and come up here. And however they get up here. And they sing a song right at the beginning of the service. I don't even care if it's a song we're going to sing first in the service. What did we start out with today? Victory in Jesus. I wouldn't even care for that. And they get up there and they sing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. I mean, they start singing. And some of you who just come in all the time, different times, maybe you get in here, you know. And when we start singing together, you might not miss out on the first song. I thought I'd hear an amen. You missed your opportunity. But I got a few looks like, oh boy, he wants us to do some more stuff. I already do enough for God. What do you expect? I sit in my seat for an hour every Sunday. Opportunities, they're there. But we fail to recognize them. There's opportunity to teach Sunday school class. There's opportunities to be involved in Master Club. There's opportunities to be involved in bus ministry. There's opportunities, I mean, galore around this place. We just need to be willing to recognize what they are. Amen. Let me talk to parents for just a moment. Parents, you know what? You need to take advantage of the privilege you have to parent before it is lost. I mean, you do. You know, it's a strange thing, but God gives us kids when we're young. We don't have any experience at it. You know, if God gave me kids now, I'm experienced in this thing. Man, I could do a good job. You know, but God did it back when I was 21. I mean, for 10 years. I mean, we just kept planting more of them. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. My wife didn't take a maternity dress off for 10 years. They just kept coming. Isn't God good? But you only get one chance at it. I mean, there was a few years, there was the house, a few years, you know, I had the chance to do whatever I had to do. And there were times I was too busy doing other things. and blew some opportunities. But I thank God for the opportunities I did take. I've been thinking lately about some fishing trips. We were great fishermen in our family. We didn't catch fish, but we went fishing. I didn't do too much teaching them how to clean them. You got to have them to clean them, you know what I mean? But we went. And we did some things. Like I'm just thankful for that. You only get so much time. And far too many times, as parents, we get ourselves involved in so many other things. We get involved in our works. We get involved in, you know, our careers and these kinds of things. And we begin working 60 and 80 hours a week, and we put our children on the sideline. Our careers get ahead of our children. Sometimes parents put pleasures ahead of their children. Sometimes kids are loaned out to the babysitter more than the parent ever realizes. Many times we put before them the temporal rather than the eternal and wonder why we lose them to Satan at a later date. We need to take advantage of the privilege God has given to us. Spouses need to take advantage of their time with each other. I find one of the biggest faults between spouses, husbands and wives, is they take each other for granted. Guys, did you know your wives are high maintenance? I heard one amen. I thought, man, you had a chance to let her know. Yeah, I agree with that. She's high maintenance. Amen. You bunch of cowards. But by the same token, ladies, he's high maintenance. Amen. See? It demands time. It demands taking advantage of those things that are there. I read the story years ago of a man who was, at this stage in his life, was very wealthy. But there was a time when they were first married that they were very poor. You understand very poor? Are you there? You're wealthy. Very poor. I mean, what money they had, it went to needs, and some needs didn't get... I mean, they were slack. I mean, you didn't wear your socks till they had one hole. You wore them until they had so many holes you couldn't put them on anymore. And he was going by a guy selling flowers. And this was back in the 20s, and I don't remember the price on them. But he said, I looked at that and he said, man alive, that was half the money that he had with him. And it meant that he might not be able to buy a 10-pound sack of potatoes. He says, I don't know why, but he says, I went ahead and bought those flowers and took them home to my wife. And he said, that was one of the greatest things I ever done in my life. Because in the midst of hardship and in the midst of being so poor, those flowers brought her spirits up so much. Now, she knew they could buy some potatoes with it, but at the same time, to know that expression of love. See, we need to take the opportunities that are there. And so often we don't recognize them. We don't see them. And we let them go. Now let me tell you one last opportunity that so many fail to take advantage of. It's the opportunity to get saved. Every individual in this room has a problem. Every one of us have this problem. Every one of us have sinned. Have you noticed? I mean, look at your neighbor. You can say, yeah, I know, they sinned. Did you notice your neighbor was looking back at you thinking the same thing? And sometimes we don't think it of ourselves, but we have sinned. What does that mean? Our sins have separated us from God. It's pure and simple. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves from God. But notice something. God came looking for them. And He says, "Wherefore art thou, Adam?" God knew where He was at. He wanted Adam to respond to Him. He had an opportunity presented to him. God has come for you. He came in the person of Jesus Christ, and He came to do something for you, and that is to die upon a cross and pay the price of your sin, to be buried in that grave, to rise again, that you and I could stand just before God. And the opportunity that you have, if you've never taken it, is to right now take that opportunity and receive God's gift. As God took those animals, which I believe were lambs, and killed them and took their skin from their bodies, representing what Jesus Christ did for us as He died upon the cross of Calvary, His blood was shed. As those lambs' blood was shed, by the way, the first death that ever occurred was a sacrificial death. If you buy into evolution, you have bought into a lie. Death came as a result of sin. And the first to die was that a lamb or lambs. And when God offered them those skins to put upon their nakedness, they had to receive it. They had recognized that the fig leaves they had tried to cover their bodies with was inadequate. They dried up. They disintegrated. They were naked once again. And what you and I do to try to cover up our sin, it always reveals itself again. But what God covers is never revealed to God again. And salvation is yours just for the receiving. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. In Ephesians, He says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not what you do. It's who you believe. There's an opportunity to be saved. You say, "Well, that opportunity will always be there." You are wrong. You are wrong. You see, the Lord said, "Call upon the Lord while He may be found." Now, I'll tell you one thing that I know stops that process. When you die, there's never another chance. Never another chance. You say, "Well, in purgatory, I get another chance." Where in the world did you find purgatory? It's not in the Word of God. It's heaven, it's hell. Great gulf between. It's yours for receiving. Yeah, it's an opportunity. Don't lose it. I believe some people say no to God so many times that finally God says, "Okay, I will never speak to you again." And He doesn't. There came a time in Israel's history, He said, "That's it." During the reign of Manasseh, who, by the way, humbled himself before the Lord. But God said to the nation, "It's too late. It's too late. There comes that time." Brethren, There's opportunities to serve Him. They are multitudinous if we will open our eyes to them. They're available. I know a lady today who sits in a retirement home. She is unable to get out and to go places any longer. She gets up in the morning, and with much difficulty, she goes to her door, and in this little retirement center, she opens the door and goes and sits back down in her chair. And when people walk by, she can still holler, "Come on in." And when they come in and sit down, she'll start talking to them about Jesus. She's got a telephone. It's a weird woman. She gets on the telephone and just starts dialing numbers. Do you ever do that? I mean, we did stupid things like that when I was a kid, you know, call them up and say, "Is your refrigerator running?" "Yeah, well, I know it is. I just ran by my house." Phone prank things, you know what I mean? You didn't do those things, did you? Farm boys do other things, let me tell you. Anyway, she gets on the phone, just starts dialing. Until somebody answers and begins to talk to them a little bit, and just with a friendly voice. And if she can, she tells them about Jesus. When I got baptized, she and her husband were the first people I saw when I walked out of the baptistry room, and there to greet me and to give me a hug and let me know they were so thankful that I had followed the Lord in obedience, because I was so ashamed I'd waited so long. And never one time did they make me feel ashamed. But Ed and Phyllis Skaggs, Ed's with the Lord today. Phyllis is sitting in that room. She can't get to church most of the time, but she makes opportunities. We have them galore if we just give ourselves to them. Amen? Every person you run into might be a divine appointment from God. And many times we fail to keep those appointments. Many times we do. Let's understand there's opportunities. Here's a woman. Her husband comes home. He's late. He knocks and she says, I'm in bed. He sticks his hand in and puts the myrrh on the handle of the door. But he decides that he doesn't want to bother, since she's not wanting to be bothered, it seems. And so he withdraws his hand and leaves. By the time she gets to the door, her opportunity is gone. Now, by God's grace and God's wisdom, that opportunity is brought back to her at a later time. But the agony she goes in before it comes. Brethren, take advantage of the opportunities. I mean, we've talked to parents, we've talked to spouses, we could talk to children. I mean, I can look at some of you and you can say, "Boy, preacher, I had opportunity to get education and I blew it. I could have learned these things in school, but I was too busy doing everything else. Boy, I wish I would have paid attention." How many times have I heard that? How many times in many places did I think that? We lose opportunities. Let's ask God to open our hearts and our minds to the opportunities that are there to serve Him and take advantage of them. Not make our excuses, not be worried about failure, but let God have His way. And don't miss the greatest opportunity of all to get saved. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. Lord, the first time I was too stupid to recognize the opportunity of salvation. Actually, probably several times. I'm so thankful that one day, many years ago, I took that opportunity. Lord, I know that through the years, so often, there have been opportunities to serve You and to show my love to You and others, and I've blown it. Sometimes, Lord, because I'm just too comfortable. Sometimes because I feared. Many times I just did not recognize what was setting in front of me. Oh God, today, I pray You'll work in our hearts. I pray that You would put into our heart that desire to never miss an opportunity that You place before us. And for some or someone in this room, that opportunity to be saved. Work in hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.